Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Welcome to this In the Country Christmas edition, and it is a great lineup of guests as well as Christmas songs from each of them on the show. Ricky Knox, Mike Bigger, and Riley Madison. Going to be a great show, so let's get things underway as I welcome Ricky Knox to the show. Hey, Ricky.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, and it is so great to speak to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing really great as well. So great to be on your show again.
Great to have you back. We not only have your Christmas song coming up, which I love the title, Christmas in the Country, for no bias reasons there with part of that title. But not only that, but we're going to talk about all the exciting new music you have coming in 2015. And you've been writing with so many big-time hitmakers, from Willie Mack to Jason McCoy, Dwayne Steele, Jake Matthews, to Patricia Conroy. What an amazing lineup right there. So before we get into Christmas stuff, fill me in on where this new album of yours, what stage it's at.
Well, it's been a long time coming. So I spent the last year writing with a lot of different people, the artists that you mentioned, which I'm just so thrilled and honored to have had the opportunity to write with them. Pretty incredible experience, and we came up with some amazing material. So the songs are pretty much ready to go, just biding my time, basically, until the first single will be released in the new year in January.
Can you give us a sneak peek of the title of that song?
Well, that is to be announced. So I'm not, we're kind of bouncing between a couple of different songs right now. So I haven't actually put my finger on it, but the songs are ready to go. So it's just a matter of deciding which one. I'm very lucky to have just a list of great songs. There are a lot of singles in the album, so having the problem I have, which is picking one of them, I guess is a really great problem to have.
Exactly. It's good when there's more than one that might be a single and that will be a single. Were you in a position, Ricky, where you had more than enough songs and it was tough to narrow it down to however many are going to appear? Did you have ones that you it was hard to put to the side?
It really was. It really boiled down to just picking the top songs, I guess. And now looking back in hindsight, there are a number of songs that didn't get recorded when I was down in Nashville, and they will be saved for the next album. But I certainly look at them now and think, man, I should have done that song, or I should have done that song. So, again, just really great material that was written, and they will eventually come to fruition and come to life. But, yeah, they won't be on this album, per se.
And some of this writing with these writers and these artists you did while you were in Nashville.
I did, yeah. It was pretty cool, actually, the one day with Patricia Conroy, and she's a gem, a lovely, lovely woman, and it was just a thrill to be able to write with her. But I spent the morning in the studio recording, and we took a quick lunch break, and then she came right into the studio, and Willie and Patricia and I sat down and wrote just a great kick-butt, powerful woman ballad, and, of course, Willie being thrown into that mix. it was a lot of fun.
Nothing
it
like
was
a
really cool.
Powerful woman song, nothing like one of those. And what I love about your sound is it is definitely country. It has a redneck edge. It just has that. And I think a lot of it's got to do with you grew up in the country, right? You are a country girl.
Through and through, absolutely. Yes, a lot of the music, the songs that we wrote, my goal going into the writing process was that I wanted to write music that really did showcase who I am as a person. And then that would carry through and showcase who I am as an artist, obviously, and a songwriter. But, again, my goal, every song on the album was written, it was either Willie and I or co-writes with the names that we had mentioned. And, again, going in, it was just, I really wanted to have songs that spoke to who I am, which is a true blue country girl.
It must have been a blast writing with, I mean, all of these people, but I'm looking at Jason McCoy's name right now, and, of course, he hosted the Country Music Association of Ontario Awards earlier this year, and he was so funny. That must have been just a total laugh riot writing with him.
Jason is amazing. There is no downtime with Jason. He is he's just an incredible person, and obviously being the host of the CMAOs, and he's back again next year for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous human being, funny as can be. I think that he missed his calling as a comedian, truly. I mean, multi-talented, obviously, but he's a card.
Yeah, for sure. And as funny as he is, he can write those very serious songs and just great country songs, and he's a great vocalist as well. So, I mean, what a talent we have from Ontario and him. I mean, the other people on this list are equally great. Willie Mack, Dwayne Steele, I love Dwayne's voice. Jake Matthews has so many great songs. And, of course, we come back to Patricia Conroy, and she is writing with so many people, from Jimmy Rankin to you name it. And you always know when you see her name on the songwriting credits that it's going to be a great song.
Again, I think she's just fabulous. I love Patricia. Dwayne Steele, again, Dwayne is someone that, going back, you know, one of my idols. There were songs of Dwayne's back when I was younger that, of course, you know, Dwayne Steele is Dwayne Steele.
Mm-hmm.
So having the opportunity to write with him was pretty surreal, and we just ended up with this amazing, beautiful ballad. We went into it with the mindset of writing a song. I wanted something that went along the lines of The House That Built Me, something that was really, you know, tug at the heartstrings, and that was my goal when we went into that session, and we came out with, you know, more than I even anticipated, and I'm just thrilled with the song that we were able to write with Dwayne.
Now, did you end up with any songs, Ricky, in this writing process that might not have been right for the album, or you just didn't have room, but you thought, man, this would be a great song to pitch to somebody else because we wrote it and it's got that person's sound on it?
We've done actually some demos since we stepped away from writing for the album. So one of the songs that didn't necessarily make the cut on this album, we did a demo of that song, and it was being shopped around. And after actually the demo was done and I heard it in its complete form, I wanted to grab it back and I wanted to put it on my album because it's a great song. I think that you become sort of, you know, partial to your own music and your songs, and especially for me, because I went into it with the mindset of writing songs, like I had mentioned, that really showcased who I am as a person. I definitely feel an attachment to those songs, and Willie just being an incredible producer, and he's been working on all of this right down to the demos, he just makes these songs come to life.
Tell us about that, working with Willie. He, of course, a songwriter and producer and an artist as well. What does he do in the studio that brings out the best in you as an artist, Ricky?
Well, first of all, being a songwriter, and I got linked up with Willie through one of the label guys here in Canada, and he had suggested Willie to me. And so we started out writing music for the album with the eventual goal of him producing the album. So we spent a few months writing, and then when we got into the studio, I didn't know what to expect. I had never met him in person. We had, done a ton of Skype writing, and as I mentioned, we wrote for months for the album. But just an amazing human being, and he just gets it. And I think that comes from being both an artist and a songwriter. He really understands what needs to happen, and just an unbelievable talent. And, of course, he, you know, down in Nashville, we had a crazy good band in the studio, and the combination of having so many talented people certainly made the album what it is, which is more than I ever anticipated. It's just remarkable.
I am so excited to hear the first single and the album now. What are the timelines for both of those? When will we hear the single, and when will the album be available?
So the single is coming in January, and the rest of it is to be announced. I'd really like to get the music out. I have an amazing fan base, and people have just been sitting by waiting so patiently for me to release music, which is one of the reasons this Christmas song actually came to life. I wanted to give something to my fans who have been following me and coming to my live shows, and, you know, they're buying my stuff and just keeping up to speed and always dropping me lines and great notes of encouragement. And so, again, I just decided I want to do this Christmas song. I want to put something out there so that in 2014 I've given something
right
to my fans, and then moving into January we'll release the single off the album.
That's awesome. We're going to get to the single, the Christmas song, in just a moment. I'll let our listeners know they can head to your wonderful website, rickynox.com, which looks really good. I was telling you that the other day. It just looks sharp. Everything
Thank
is
you.
Just, you know, looking good. It's a great, greatly designed site.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Tell me about the song. So Christmas in the Country, beautiful title, and it's a great song. Tell me a bit about it, Ricky, and then we'll share it with our listeners and give them a little something to get them in the Christmas mood.
Christmas in the Country is sort of a, I guess it's more of a rockin' Christmas ballad. So it's just about taking things back, and in the first line you're heading back to the farm and just spending time with friends and family and just really letting loose and going back, because I'm a country girl, you know, doing things mm-hmm. like hitting the field on a snowmobile and, you know, on a
right
sleigh
on.
And just going back to the basics.
That's really cool. I mean, that's what Christmas should be about. People get caught up in all the other stuff. But taking it back to the basics, the simple stuff, family and friends, that I think is where you find the meaning of the holiday, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I went into this, I wanted a song that was fun, that was upbeat and fun
mm-hmm.
and a little rockin', a little different.
Yeah.
Set a whole new ball game for a Christmas classic.
Definitely. Let's share it now. This is my guest, Ricky Knox, Christmas in the Country on In the Country. Ontario country artist Ricky Knox, and that is Christmas in the country. Her website, RickyKnox.com. Now, Ricky, can people buy that song at iTunes?
They sure can. Yes, absolutely. It's available now at iTunes, on iTunes, and it's available across Canada. It's gone to radio as well.
Very cool. Our listeners should call their local country station and say they want to hear Ricky Knox, Christmas in the Country. Now, you and I took part, as well as a lot of music people in Ontario, at the Country Music Association of Ontario Road to Independence not too long ago, a two-day seminar. And, man, let's get a little, few of the highlights there, one of them being Ralph Murphy and his laws of songwriting. Wasn't that very helpful and instructional?
I love Ralph. I absolutely adore Ralph. I actually had the opportunity to spend some time with him the night before he did his portion of the seminar. And, you know, he truly is someone that really, he knows, you know, he loves what he does. And he really knows mm-hmm. what he's talking about. So he sat
right.
down with some of the artists in the green room, and they were just playing some of their songs they had just written, and he was giving them tips and pointers. And it's just what Ralph Murphy does best. And just an amazing human being.
Yeah, amazing. And that knowledge that he passes on. And, you know, some people might say, well, it's too much of a craft, or it's too scientific, that approach. But you need to know certain guidelines. You're still being creative within those rules. But there are certain secrets, I guess, or certain methods that work to write a hit song, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I can honestly say that I thought I knew what I was doing until I started working with some of the co-writers that you had mentioned. And one of them that really opened up my eyes to the world of songwriting was Willie Mack. And in his, you know, in the kindest way possible, he would say, you know, that's great, but how about we try this? And
right.
and it was just amazing to see that there really truly is a science behind it. And once you have that, it becomes so much easier to write a song, but there mm-hmm. certainly are components to writing a song versus a hit song.
Right. Exactly. It depends on what your purpose of it is. If it's a hit song, you need to know the rules much more than if you're just putting out a song yourself, a statement of you as an artist, not to pitch it to someone else, which is terrific. The other thing that I love there as well, I mean, there's so many great highlights of that CMAO event, but Cliff Dumas in the media training and helping all of us from being a guest. And for me as an interviewer, I learned a lot. So it was just how to do better interviews.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much to learn. A lot of times, you know, we go into things just green, and preparation is key, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you're very good at, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you. Yeah,
you certainly. You make it a lot of fun. You make it a lot of fun to be interviewed, and
oh.
and as I mentioned, you dig deep and you know how to get the answers.
Thank you. Yes, you wrote a very nice testimonial for my website recently, which was awesome. I mean, I love doing this, and I agree with what Cliff had said. Whether you're the guest or the interviewer, research is important. Now, of course, as the guest, it's not research, but it's preparing, just thinking about what you could say and reflecting back, because if you try to do it off the cuff, it might not work as well, right?
For sure. Absolutely. I agree with that 110%.
Yeah.
You could go on forever talking about nothing at all. You know, you've got to have some sort
That's
of guideline
right.
as to what you want to say.
Exactly. And Cliff Dumas presented that so well and gave us so many pointers and examples. I mean, and there was so many other things we covered at that conference. This is so exciting, Ricky. Of course, we played Christmas in the Country. You mentioned that it's at all the local country stations, and it is also available at iTunes. And again, people should head to your website, RickyKnox.com, because it's really set up nicely. Our time has flown by, Ricky. Thanks so much for being part of this special Christmas episode.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dave. It's been a blast.
My pleasure, and we will catch up with you soon and look forward to that brand new music in 2015. Now we head over to the East Coast, and we will turn things over to my next guest, which is Mike Bigger. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are things going?
Things are going great with me. How about with you, Mike?
I am doing just superbly well, man. It's very Christmassy weather here. And I have to admit that interview with Ricky Knox that you just did was incredibly insightful. I was scurriously scribbling down notes You know, if I could write a song that's got such a cool hook in it, like "Hey, hey, hey" and "Ho, ho, ho,"
yeah,
for Christmas,
yeah,
I wish I had done that. You know, no, it's going really
that's
well,
a,
man.
Yeah,
things
that's
are
such
going
a
very
cool.
Well.
It's what you end up singing afterwards in that song, and you remember. It's so cool. Ricky has a great Christmas song, and I appreciate that because I hope that people listening not only just enjoy the conversations, but maybe they get something out of it if they are a singer-songwriter. They can pick up some tips from these great guests who know what they're talking about. With you, we've got a Christmas song, Mike, coming up, which is a great one that you co-wrote with Larry Wayne Clark called "The Season." But you're also about to begin the Season Acoustic Christmas Tour. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So it's kind of just the title track of my holiday album is "The Season," and so and like you say, I wrote that with Larry. And so the album itself came out, you know, a couple 3 years ago. But it's the beautiful thing about a Christmas album is you can haul it out every year, like a an old ornament, and hang it on the tree and look at it again, you know. So anyway, I've never done like sort of a formal tour of the holiday album. And so this year I decided that it seemed like the time was right to kind of wing out over the whole sort of East Coast. And so I've got, it's not quite a dozen shows or so all around sort of the Atlantic provinces. And that starts, it starts this weekend, actually. Yeah.
Awesome. I love acoustic shows.
Yeah, I wanted, you know, especially with Christmas time, they really go hand in glove, right? You know, Christmas and acoustic music. And so it's kind of, it's fun to get the big rockin' band out and stuff, but it's just an acoustic trio. It's for this. It's just me. The guitar player from my band will be on like second acoustic, and sometimes he'll be on the bass as well for a bit of, you know, sort of rhythm and percussion. And then my fiddle player, Matt Hayes, he's with us as well. So that's cool.
Nice.
We've had a couple of rehearsals, and we're really feeling the holiday vibe, I guess, you know, and nobody put up any mistletoe yet or anything, but, you know, nevertheless. So
that's when the fun starts.
And then also we have, there's some artists in some of the communities where, like some of the locales where we're playing, I've got a few artists that are kind of supporting coming to open. And so that's really fun too, right? Because we have a chance kind of diversify it a little bit and, you know, hopefully bring a little bit of, fun to the shows that you can't get at every show. You know, it's not going to be the same everywhere we go. One of the young guys that's coming out, his name is Tyler DeVoe, and he showcased actually at CCMA this year in Edmonton. He's from New Brunswick here. He's got a little bit of a publicity deal out of Nashville, writing on spec with someone down there. And so he's a real aspiring young guy. He's a great guy. And so I'm really excited he's going to be with me on a couple of the shows. So that's cool. And then some other artists from out this way.
I think it's so great that each show will feature artists from the local area because it's just a cool thing to do for people in that area who are coming to see you. They'll see their local artists getting a chance on the stage. I think that's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, part of it too is, you know, it's a little bit of kind of pay it forward and hopefully give an artist an opportunity that maybe wouldn't have it. And I don't mean to say that artists can't stand on their own. But I mean, around the holidays, not everybody has put a Christmas album together or done a lot of Christmas shows. So there's some opportunity that's a little unique that way for them. And of course, part of it's just marketing too, because it's just, you know, for the price of the ticket, there's a double bill, basically, you know. So
for sure.
And you get a little bit of hometown support, which is certainly something that's real strong out here in the East. I'm sure it's strong virtually everywhere. Everybody's got their hometown heroes,
yeah,
you know. So, yeah,
you
we'll run into a bit of that.
Especially in the country music community, it just seems to be wherever the province is in Canada, of course, into the States, but focusing on Canada, country music artists really help each other out and are there to support each other, which is so cool.
Yeah, that sentiment is certainly true here, and everywhere I've gone, I've found it to be 100% the case, you know? So we're just the nicest people on the whole friggin' planet.
That's right. The nicest and the most humble as well.
Of course.
Let's
talk
about
the least. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about Chris Cummings. I mean, Lucy Got Lucky,
yeah.
No One Hurts Me More Than Me, Dixie Bodorant. I mean, the list of hits goes on and on. I've only scratched the surface with those three. But Chris Cummings had so many great hits. He is such a funny guy. He posts the funniest things online. Tell me about writing and working with Chris Cummings.
I told Chris that he needs to cut back his alcohol consumption for before Facebook posts by 50%. Because that guy has the goofiest Facebook updates, man. Chris is a great friend, and I've been very lucky over the last 2 or 3 years to, you know, to really forge a great co-writing relationship, and some of the stuff that I'm the proudest of is stuff that Chris and I have written together, and he's working on, I know I wouldn't say this except that he had already said it online somewhere, that he is going to be working on a couple of singles likely for the spring. So first time he's done any sort
of great news
work out on radio for a while. And, you know, either one or both of those are songs he and I wrote together. So, I mean, I'm just proud, you know, of that. And he is a great guy to write with. I've learned so much from Chris. I mean, the last time you and I talked, I mentioned it a bit. He's taught me an awful lot about, you and Ricky were just talking about the Ralph Murphy seminar at CMAO and the value of, you know, understanding that distinction between, do you want to write a song that's just an extension of your artistic creativity, or do you want to write for the business? Because they're not always exactly the same thing, you know. And one is more indulgent than the other. The other, you want to write for the business, well then, you know, yeah, of course it's still artistic creativity, but it's also got to fit the mold. And Chris is so good at finding that balance between lots of creativity. He's quirky, right? And he's got kind of a fun, sarcastic kind of insight that he incorporates a lot in his writing. But he also knows, he's also really, really shark-like about how to make sure it's industry savvy. And so he's taught me so much about that, you know. So and the great thing about co-writing overall is that it's the greatest way to basically pass off other people's talent as your own.
That's right. I wrote most of that song. Yeah, they were just sitting around. You know, who's going to believe who?
I tell people that I'm like you know, in the X-Men, Rogue, the one who, if she touches you, she absorbs your power. I tell people that's what I'm like as a songwriter.
but you do really build on each other's strengths if you got, you know, two or even three. You're bringing, all of you have a different perspective on life, a different maybe take on melodies, you know, whatever that strength is. So the combined strength of all three, you know, comes up with something you wouldn't have come up on your own.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think, and I just find that that is like proven again and again. And I know I'm this way. I know a lot of people say that they're this way. I do well with a deadline in life, you know, when it's kind of when there's no sort of finish line in sight. It's very easy to meander and pick it up and put it down, and I'll get back around to it. Because, I mean, we're all kind of procrastinators. I'm terribly procrastinating, you know. And I think that sometimes, you know, when you co-write, it installs a bit of a sense of, like, there's a deadline here. We're together for this period of time. We've blocked it off. Let's get it done, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that, sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm a performer. The thing I love most of all about the music, I guess, business is to play in front of a live audience. And I was talking with another songwriter recently, and I was saying, you know, do you think maybe that plays into the co-writing thing? You know, you've got sort of an audience of one there as you hammer it out together. And, I mean, you're both invested in it. But the reality is that there's someone else in the room that's listening to you, and so it motivates you more to kind of work it out, I think, you know, a little bit. I don't know.
Yep.
Basically, I'm a narcissist.
Nope.
That's what it all comes down to.
that is truthfully so right, because now you've got that person that you can share that journey with of that song. Like you said, the deadline, feedback, all that stuff. When you're doing it on your own, you don't have that, so it's not the same kind of journey following the song. But I also wanted to talk to you as an artist, Jay, Mike. You're an East Coast country rock artist is how it's described. Tell me about the country rock side, you know, the country side of you and the rock side. How do those two come together?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell people that country music sort of found me. Like, I didn't really find it. And so, and what I mean by that is, you know, I'm not sort of a George Strait belt buckle cowboy hat wearing kind of guy, you know. That's not where I came from. I grew up on sort of like Bon Jovi and Bryan Adams and sort of, you know, blues and sort of soul infused rock and sort of hair bands and stuff too. I've always loved great singers, And I've always been drawn to stories in songs, and you know, love songs and songs that have a narrative that sort of draws on, you know, moments in life, big questions and big moments in life. And I guess, you know, being an East Coast guy and sort of, you know, I'm sort of Johnny come lately to the mainstream music thing. I've only been doing it after many years, you know, working in ministry as I did years ago, and music was a big part of that, gospel and stuff. But getting into mainstream just only lately, in the last 4, 5, 6 years now, I just was really looking for, I guess I just found that I really identified with the stories and with the people of country music. And that is true about both the artists and the audiences, you know. And I found that what kind of, I was sort of an artist in search of an audience who wanted to listen to what I sort of was saying. And it seemed like it just resonated with people who happened to be very roots and country kind of minded, you know. And so the tricky part in that is to not lose your, like, to not be disingenuous and say, oh, well, I'm just looking for, like, a demographic that I can sell my stuff to, you know.
Right.
Not that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would write this stuff regardless. This is who I am. I'm just saying that because I sort of didn't set out to kind of find where I fit in the broader kind of mainstream world, and I guess you might say in the more commercial sense, you know, radio, I guess, as I write and hope to have stuff on the radio, you know, it ended up that country music sort of found me. So friendships like Larry Wayne Clark, we just clicked, and like he did with so many people, he was this mentor and almost like dad-like figure. He was that for me. And I found that I identified not just with the principles and the things that he taught me, but with his whole sort of outlook on life. And with Chris, it's a similar thing, you know. And Chris is another guy who is very straight up about not being like a real kind of, you know, again, cowboy hat wearer. Poor people with the cowboy hats. I'm kind of coming down on them. I don't mean to do that, you know. I'm
yeah.
more like I've got my goofy
they're good
Keith
people,
Urban haircut
too.
Kind of guy. You know, that's more my thing, so.
Right, right.
But anyway, that's kind of what I so I guess roots and roots rock and country and even country rock a little bit. I mean, that all is just to kind of say that, you know, I'm not probably the twangiest guy that you ever heard, but it's for me, it's about honest artistry, if you know, if that can be phrased that way, and then you know, and then great songs. And I think the song is always king. And in country music, the truer words were never spoken than that the song is king, you know?
Now, your current album has great songs on it. You mentioned great songs right there. Feels Like Now is the name of it, available at iTunes. People can head to your website, mikebigger.com, to learn more about you there. We're going to play the song. We got a few more minutes after that to talk, Mike, but I want to make sure we get this played right now, the Christmas song you co-wrote with Larry Wayne Clark. It's called The Season. It's a beautiful one. This is Mike Bigger on In the Country. Tis the season of peace and goodwill.
it's lingered still. The most important part, no matter where we are, the season is living in our hearts. Were you
And that is Mike Bigger, and the song is called The Season here on In the Country. Stay tuned for Riley Madison, who will be joining us in just a short while. Mike, what are some of the things about Christmas that you look forward to, some of the events, some of the, you know, the things that happen that really make you happy about the holiday?
Well, I grew up in, as I've mentioned before, I grew up in a pretty religious home. So for me, a lot, music is a large part of the holiday for me, and a lot of the songs, like the originals on the album, are, you know, similar to what you just heard there. But I mean, the stuff that I, the sort of the holiday standards that I sort of go to end up being, just because of my history, they end up being of sort of a Christmas carol, more of an inspirational sort of kind of thing. And so there's a lot of that for me, a lot of inspirational moments, you know, spent singing with people gathered around, whether it was sort of like caroling house to house. I remember doing that when I was a kid some, or Christmas productions that I was in, you know, like Sunday school things when I was a kid and when I was first. I mean, that's where I first started kind of singing, was in stuff like that as a kid, you know. So, you know, those things, they come back to me, and I really enjoy like this tour will be a lovely chance to do, to get some of that vibe out, you know, again. So it, for me, it's a chance to kind of go back to that, almost back to those childhood kind of feelings. Maybe not every night, but most of the nights, I'm sure, when we get on stage and do these shows. Yeah.
And our listeners can head to MikeBigger.com because they can check out the dates and the places of the Season Acoustic Christmas Tour, which we talked about earlier. Mike, thanks so much for being here. It's always great to have you. A return to the show and chat, and great to catch up.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. I'm always really grateful for your support, man. And I love the show, of course, as always. And you're going to talk to Riley, who, of course, is also from my neck of the woods. So I'll say hi to Riley now.
Will do, yeah. Let me throw Riley on now, actually. You know what? We'll just we'll bring her on right now so you can just have a quick word of hello. Hello, Riley. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave and Mike. I've been listening to you over here in Nova Scotia.
What the
How
what?
Are
what?
You? What the what what? I'm in Nova Scotia, dude. Didn't you know?
Yeah, I knew that. I know, but here we are connected. It took Dave Woods to get us to talk to each other again.
I know, right?
This is so
I'm
cool.
Gonna be in your neck of the woods on Thursday. We should hook up.
Absolutely. Don't you still want
Thursday
me 50
night.
Bucks, so
what? For what?
This is what the show does best, get people together and also get those loans paid. You know, that's important.
Yeah, you're sort of like the Dr. Phil and the Canada Student Loans of country radio. So.
How's that working?
Dr. Phil,
Dave,
what do you think of that? That's awesome. Mike, you have a Merry Christmas. Good luck with your tour.
Okay. I'll talk to you. I will talk to you. We're going to talk on Thursday.
Sounds good.
All right.
Bye, Mike.
See you later. Thanks again, Dave.
All right. Good night, Mike. Great to have Mike Bigger here, Riley Madison, who just you mentioned you're in Nova Scotia now. Your hometown is there, of course, but you have made Nashville your second home. But Nova Scotia means so much to you.
Of course. I mean, I was born and raised here and lived here pretty much my entire existence up until the last 7 years or so. But I've been, as you know, I've been going back and forth to Nashville now since 2000 on that songwriting train that you've been on as well.
Yep.
So it's always good to get home.
It's a bug once you got that songwriting bug. And, I mean, you're taking it to such great levels. I mean, you've had your songs recorded by so many wonderful artists, including John Landry, Samara Young, Tennille, recently Melody Lovejoy. I think there's 4 songs, and you did some producing there. What is it about songwriting, Riley, that just keeps you loving it and keeps you doing it?
You know, I don't know if I can really put my finger on it, but I do know that it's something that when I'm doing it, I get lost in it, which tells me that it's something I must enjoy. Because, you know, when you're doing something you really enjoy, you tend to look up and go, oh, my gosh, where did the hours go? What do you
That's
mean
right.
it's dark? But it's
exactly.
It's a journey. And every song is a new journey. And especially in the co-writing process, when you're sitting down with other writers and you're sharing that journey together, it's really fascinating to see where that takes you and where the song ends up. And sometimes the song doesn't finish on one session. You have to go back and revisit it or Skype write it or whatever. But it's just fascinating to me where songs, a lot of the time they just kind of show up and sit down alongside of you and take over.
Yeah. Yeah, you sit down wanting to write a great song, but I mean, that's so undefined and so nonspecific. When you sit there and all of a sudden these lines come to you that weren't there before, and then you're on a roll and it keeps going that way, it's a great high, right? It's just that feeling of creating something magical.
It is. Yeah, and sometimes they come really quick. Sometimes you kind of have to kick them around like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Just realize, wait a minute, I'm a redhead. And kicking around a stepchild is probably not the right way to say that.
It's probably a gentler way.
there's a gentler way, yes. Pat them on their back and tell them it's going to be okay. But sometimes they present themselves pretty swift, like the track I have with John Landry. That came swiftly. I think that was in and out and done in a 40-minute time frame. It was really swift. The song that we have with Tennille, that was a couple hours, and that was she and I and another co-writer in Nashville, Ron Robinson. We sat down, and she rattled off a bunch of titles, and that title popped up, and when she said the title, I heard it, and we just were off to the races, and 2 hours later, it was done. A cut on Melody Lovejoy's latest record called Barefoot in the Backwoods, that came out of my husband and I produced her together with our little production company in Nashville. And my husband's listening in Nashville right now. So hi, Clay.
Hi, Clay. Clay Krasner,
yeah,
great musician. He's a songwriter, and he performs a lot with Terry Clark, to name one artist.
Yeah, he's Terry's bass player, and not so much a songwriter, but an amazing producer and arranger. He has an incredible ear for music and how to pull it all together. But he and I were working with Melody earlier this year, and I wanted her to send me an email of just tell me your life story. I want to know about you, because one thing with the artists we are working with, we want to make sure to kind of get their story out of them so that they're standing on a platform of something that's who they are. It identifies them as who they are. They're not trying to pretend to be something, but instead they're trying to translate their story and things they can relate to. And she had sent me this email about her life, basically a summary. And in that email, the words were, I like to ride motorcycles even though I don't have one anymore. And that was it. When I read that line, mm-hmm. I literally picked up the guitar and started writing Barefoot in the Backwoods. And it just kind of presented
wow.
itself. And I called her up with a couple of verses and a chorus. I'm like, this is what I'm chasing down. Do you like it? And she just was over the moon, and we dove in and finished it together. So it's, you never know where a song is going to come from. And you know that, Dave. You're a great lyricist yourself. You've been on the songwriting train. And,
yeah, for sure.
And you're great at it. And you know the charge, you know the rush that we all get from it.
Yeah. Oh, feels amazing.
You know, it
feels amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
To be able to craft something and...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, on the producing side, so this song that we've written, you've written, that you've got that great joy from, now you're actually producing it, in this case with Clay, and you talked about your production company, and you can
mm-hmm.
elaborate on that. What is it like when you work with an artist like Melody, and now you've not only written songs, you know, with her, for her, but you're helping create the full song from a production standpoint?
Oh, it's an incredible thing. I will say that Clay and I work together as a team, of course. Our company, 717 Music. We both share the same birthday, so 717 is where the title comes from.
Oh,
our
perfect.
Birthday, July 17th. But as a
put
team,
put that on the calendar for next year's card.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'll be looking for it.
Yep.
But as a team, my strength that I bring to the table is the songwriting element of it, and when I write. I'm hearing stuff in my head, and then I kind of just present it to Clay, and he goes, yeah, okay, I like those ideas, but what do you think of this? And he goes off and waves his magic wand, and it's a lot like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, but with a lot of free license to make something really cool. But one thing my mm-hmm. husband has a really great knack for is, he's very connected in Nashville, so we get to use some incredible players. I mean, Melody Lovejoy had the guitar player who, the day after he cut Melody's record, he's in the studio doing Ben Perry's newest record. I mean, the
oh, wow.
level of musicianship is top
mm-hmm.
shelf. But he's very, very strong at pulling it all together and kind of making it all cohesive. And he'll pull his ideas in, and then I'll come in after he's listened to what I had to say. He'll pull his stuff in, and then I'll come back in and go, okay, but what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And sometimes we butt heads and kind of have to push each other around a bit. But
yep.
We're always very satisfied, or so far we've been very satisfied with what
right.
we've come out with. And Melody was thrilled, and we're already on to our next artist, Stephanie Rose, from Saskatchewan, and we have Ben Click coming up in the new year, and
nice.
We have a nice handful of artists we're going to be working with, and a couple of them from the East Coast that we're really excited about. So
that is wonderful. So yeah,
it's
so
been an amazing
to be
thing.
Busy,
it's almost like a transition. Yeah, it really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, more than that. I love that, just shaping their careers and helping them along the way with all the knowledge that you and Clay have. Let's turn to the Christmas song, because I want to obviously have time to play it, but to hear the story behind it. It's called Wish You Were Here. You have a video that you put online. People sent you pictures of them
mm-hmm.
holding pictures of somebody they missed, or there's clips. I mean, it's just so beautiful, but I'll let you take it from there, Riley, and tell us about Wish You Were Here.
Sure. Well, Wish You Were Here is a song that my husband and I produced alongside of the co-writer on this song, Ron Robinson, who I mentioned earlier. He writes with Tennille and I a bunch. Ron and I sat down a couple Christmases ago after it was my second Christmas after my best friend had passed away from cancer. And we were just talking about, you know, how losing these people who are important in your life. And then the conversation went into Ron talking about people who are serving overseas and away from home. And then it came back to me that, well, I'm living in Nashville and I'm missing home. There's people I wish were here all the time. I wish it was easy just to make a 20-minute drive and have a cup of coffee with your best friend when it's no longer it's no longer that easy, and mm-hmm. in some cases not possible. So we sat down and wrote Wish You Were Here, and last year we recorded it and put it on this little EP, but it was just a limited pressing, something we gave out and sold at some shows while we were home last year in Nova Scotia. And then this year, my dad passed away in June, and I thought, you know, it'd be nice to release that song and just put it out into the world in honor of not only my dad who passed this year, but since my best friend Bruce passed 4 years ago, I've had 7 losses in my life. And one of those losses was someone that Mike Biggert spoke of, which is Larry Wayne Clark, an amazing right. songwriter who you know, Dave. And yeah. so it's really, it's in honor of all those I've lost. But what we did is we put an email through social media and to the fan base and requested, hey, who are you thinking of this year that you miss or that you've lost or that's moved away or serving overseas? And we got inundated with a ton of amazing, beautiful pictures. And I don't personally know a lot of the people in these pictures, but each one of the photos captures something very special. And we were thrilled to have them as part of the video.
It adds so much depth to the video, knowing you know that these are people missed or lost. You know, just very moving along with the song. We're going to play it. We got a few minutes to talk when we come back from the song, Riley. Let our listeners know they can head to RileyMadison.com. And the video, or sorry, the song, is it available at iTunes?
It sure is. It's available at iTunes. It's available anywhere and everywhere online, and it can also be ordered through my website as the little EP, too.
Perfect.
RileyMadison.com, R-Y-L-E-E.
Awesome.
It's important.
Exactly.
Note the Riley spelling.
Living the life of Riley.
Yeah.
This is Riley Madison and her beautiful Christmas song called Wish You Were Here on In the Country. Wow, what a moving song from Riley Madison. That is called Wish You Were Here. And if you go online, you'll see the video image that go along with it. And that is just wonderful, Riley.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you. We actually were fortunate to have a clip of Larry Wayne Clark that's included in that video, too. So
I've seen that.
It's quite
yeah.
a special piece. And when I was putting that video together without realizing it or remembering it, I came across video footage that I took of my dad last Christmas Eve when we went to visit him. And I totally forgot I had it. So that video that you see in the opening was my husband and I walking up to his house. And I said, Merry Christmas. Oh. And he said, Merry Christmas is right. I had no idea that was in there. So it was, if anything, as you can imagine as a songwriter, the journey I was on putting that video together was quite an emotional one, I'll say.
No doubt. The song itself is emotional enough, but when you add those images and meaningful images, it just takes it to a whole other level. So I'll encourage our listeners to head online to YouTube and check out the video for that. RileyMadison.com, your website. Man, the time has flown by, Riley. Always great to talk with you. We'll have to catch up again and get into some other areas of music and more specific on songwriting and producing and so forth. Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely, Dave. Thank you so much for having me. And you have yourself a Merry, Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you and Clay. And I want to do a shout-out as well to Debbie Wood, who booked all the guests for this wonderful Christmas show. She's so wonderful.
Debbie Wood rocks. She's the best. Just love that woman.
We love Debbie and wish her a very Merry Christmas as well to all our listeners. But I also as well want to thank Ricky Knox and Mike Vigor, my guests part of the earlier part of the show. What a wonderful time. Three great guests and three great Christmas songs and lots of conversation. Have yourself a great night, Riley, and we'll talk to you soon.
You as well, Dave. Thank you so much.
I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this In the Country Christmas episode.